Hey love, and welcome to the Love Meach podcast. It's a billion podcasts to listen to, and the universe guided you right here to this one. It's 8 billion people in the world, yet you met me, and that is not by happen chance. This is a divine meeting, and may we guide each other well. I am in this world, but I'm not of it. On this podcast, you'll hear topics about both worlds, spiritual and earthly. My goal is to keep learning, evolving, and spreading love.
One day, while hiding in the kitchen, Charlotte Brooks overheard a life-changing secret. At the age of 17, she'd been separated from her family and taken to William Neyland's Texas plantation. There, she was made to do housework at the violent whims of her enslavers. On that fateful day, she learned that slavery had recently been abolished, but Neyland conspired to keep this a secret from those he enslaved. Hearing this, Brooks stepped out of her hiding spot, proclaimed her freedom, spread the news throughout the plantation, and ran. That night, she returned for her daughter, Tempe. And before Neyland's spiteful bullets could find them, they were gone for good. For more than 2 centuries, slavery defined what would become the United States, from its past as the 13 British colonies to its growth as an independent country. Slavery fueled its cotton industry and made it a leading economic power. 10 of the first 12 presidents enslaved people. And when U.S. chattel slavery finally ended, it was a long and uneven process. Enslaved people resisted from the beginning by escaping, breaking tools, staging rebellions, and more. During the American Revolution, Vermont and Massachusetts abolished slavery, while several states took steps towards gradual abolition. In 1808, federal law banned the import of enslaved African people, but it allowed the slave trade to continue domestically. Approximately 4 million people were enslaved in the U.S. when Abraham Lincoln was elected president in 1860. Lincoln opposed slavery, and though he had no plans to outlaw it, his election caused panic in southern states, which began withdrawing from the Union. They vowed to uphold slavery and formed the Confederacy, triggering the start of the American Civil War. A year into the conflict, Lincoln abolished slavery in Washington, D.C., legally freeing more than 3,000 people. And 5 months later, he announced the Emancipation Proclamation. It promised freedom to the 3.5 million people enslaved in Confederate states, but it would only be fulfilled if the rebelling states didn't rejoin the Union by January 1, 1863. And it bore no mention of the roughly 500,000 people in bondage in the border states of Delaware, Maryland, Kentucky, and Missouri that hadn't seceded. When the Confederacy refused to surrender, Union soldiers began announcing emancipation. But many southern areas remained under Confederate control, making it impossible to actually implement abolition throughout the South. The war raged on for 2 more years, and on January 31st, 1865, Congress passed the 13th Amendment. It promised to end slavery throughout the U.S., except as punishment for a crime. But to go into effect, 27 states would have to ratify it first. Meanwhile, the Civil War virtually ended with the surrender of Confederate General Robert E. Lee on April 9, 1865. But although slavery was technically illegal in all southern states, it still persisted in the last bastions of the Confederacy. There, enslavers like Neyland continued to evade abolition until forced. This was also the case when Union General Gordon Granger marched his troops into Galveston, Texas on June 19th and announced that all enslaved people there were officially free and had been for more than 2 years. Still, at this point, people remained legally enslaved in the border states. It wasn't until more than 5 months later, on December 6, 1865, that the 13th Amendment was finally ratified. This formally ended chattel slavery in the U.S. Because official emancipation was a staggered process, people in different places commemorated it on different dates. Those in Galveston, Texas, began celebrating Juneteenth, a combination of June and 19th, on the very first anniversary of General Granger's announcement. Over time, smaller Juneteenth gatherings gave way to large parades. and the tradition eventually became the most widespread of emancipation celebrations. But while chattel slavery had officially ended, racial inequality, oppression, and terror had not. Celebrating emancipation was itself an act of continued resistance, and it wasn't until 2021 that Juneteenth became a federal holiday. Today, Juneteenth holds profound significance as a celebration of the demise of slavery, the righteous pursuit of true freedom for all, and a continued pledge to remember the past and dream the future. People resisted slavery in the U.S. as long as it persisted, uncovered the story of those who escaped slavery, and created a secret society in the Great Dismal Swamp with this video.
Juneteenth is tomorrow. Officially, it recognizes the end of slavery in the United States. And there's plenty of events going on throughout the weekend here in Jacksonville to commemorate it. One of them is the Melanin Market. News 4 Jax reporter Marilyn Parker was there to see how people feel about it and also some backlash.
Black-owned businesses are at the forefront of the Melanin Market. It's become a Juneteenth staple in Jacksonville for the last 6 years.
Because it's all race, it's all community. We need to support our community.
Some major companies started trying to commemorate Juneteenth with merchandise this year. Some items got backlash for what some say undermines the meaning of Juneteenth. Walmart apologized last month for making a great value Juneteenth ice cream. An Indianapolis Children's Museum took a Juneteenth watermelon salad off its menu, later blaming an oversight not reviewed by the museum staff.
No, it's not about the items and the monetary things. This is about your support. So it's not, as long as you're being genuine, I don't want the hoopla and the commodities to be genuine to your support. I don't need no Juneteenth ice cream.
Vendors at the Melanin Market say knowing the history and supporting black businesses is part of what Juneteenth is about.
No, that's not how we want to celebrate Juneteenth. We want to celebrate Juneteenth by remembering the purpose of it and celebrating it in the right way. You know, when we try to think of new ideas, sometimes that's not the right thing to do. But if you have festivities like this, or if you have, you know, little socials or gatherings, and again, you remember the purpose of the, Juneteenth, that's the right thing to do, not making ice cream, you know?
They hope people continue to speak up about effective ways to commemorate the holiday.
Thank you, Chris. Well, because Juneteenth is now a federal holiday, federal offices like the post office, Wall Street, and most major banks are closed. Schools also not open. Some retailers, though, like Walmart and Target, and restaurants, they will operate during their normal hours.
Hello, and welcome to another podcast episode of the Love Me Podcast. I hope you are having an amazing day, and if you are not, that is okay. There still may be time left in the day, or as long as you still have lungs in your breath, it can change, right? And it's okay not to have a good day, too. Let's normalize that. If you're not having a good day, okay. Sit in it. Sit in that feeling. Try to figure out why. Just let it be. Maybe it's a mental health day. Maybe it's a relaxed day, etc. If you guys go back to my very, 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 very first podcast, it was just like this. I was literally in the shower recording my very first podcast. So it's interesting that 3 years later, here we are again. So today's podcast is about Juneteenth. I'm going to play a couple of clips about Juneteenth. But I just want to say that I remember I had no idea about Juneteenth. Let's just start with in middle school. We had one paragraph about slavery, and it said, the Africans came over here to help farm. And I showed my mom, and I was like, this is a lie. That's what she should have known. I was going to be an aggressive emotional being. Because every time we went to my grandma's house, y'all know growing up, we was always at granny house, right? We would be in my uncle's room, and we would be looking at Channel 7. All the slavery stuff would come on. I was so sick of looking at stuff. Being an empath, it will make me sad, it will make me cry. I was wondering, like, God, why did you make me black? Like, it's so sad. You know what I mean? Like, why was I born with this race? I just didn't have a sense of pride because it was always slavery, getting hung, getting burnt, running, escaping. And it was just like, dang, you know, this is my culture. Why do you hate us so much? So when I saw that one paragraph, I was like, whoosh. This is not what PBS taught us.
CVS called me. And she was so upset, and I just will never forget. And mind you, it wasn't an all-black school. It wasn't an all-white school. It was a multi-culture school, like ESOL. Both my middle school and high school had all the flags all over the world. You know, they welcome all ethnicities, and I appreciate that. I think I would have felt left out at an all-white school, and I think I still would have felt left out at an all-black school because we didn't get our hair and nails done all the time. We didn't have name brand stuff, so I probably would have been a lap of the school. And it felt the same way on the other side. Like, when we first came to our elementary here, there was like a few, like maybe three black kids in the school, and my parents were barely surviving. Like, I remember us eating the same thing, like, over and over again. Like, but rent was paid, you know what I mean? Lights was paid, we had a house, so I'm thankful. The priorities was just different. So while everybody else getting their hair and nails done and stuff like that, we ate dinner, our lights on, we live in a house, so it was just different. But I remember the kids would come in with new shoes all the time, their hair done, new outfits, and I felt like an outcast too. Like, no matter what side of the fence I'm on, I'll be an outcast. But at this multiracial school, they had an audacity to put that little ass line paragraph in there about we came over here to help farm. So I didn't get to dig deep into African-American pride and excellence until college. So I will never forget, me, my mom, my dad, and my cousin, we all took African-American studies together. And I think the professor's name was Mr. Watu. He was like this big-time warrior. He was so prideful in his culture. I think he was black mixed with like maybe another race. He wasn't all black, definitely mixed with another race. And I remember we had this huge, you know, project, and I had to stand in front of the class and do my presentation, XYZ. And I just felt so proud. Like, it wasn't until college that I really learned about my people, you know, how we invented things, how proud I should be of them, because all they want to talk about is slavery. So anyway, I remember working at ADT, and some girl that used to go to a black historical college, BCU, BHC. She was like, y'all don't know what Juneteenth is. Y'all should be ashamed of yourself. Go Google, go research. And I wish, okay, you're right. I should definitely know this, but I don't. You have two choices. You can belittle people in that way and make yourself look, you know, grand. Ooh, look what I know. But you look stupid. You can also say, okay, this is a teaching opportunity. Oh my God, my sisters and brothers don't know what Juneteenth is. Let me tell them. Let me put my sisters and brothers on game. Once they get the knowledge, they can put their sisters and brothers on game. Their sisters and brothers. And then boom, it's going to spread like wildfire. I will say this until the day I leave here. It's never what you do. I really don't care. I have an I don't care attitude. So it's never, ever, ever what you do, but how you make me feel. That's never going to go away because energy, emotion, it gets trapped in your skin cells. It's like a part of your memory. Like, something can happen and you can forget. If it doesn't bother your emotions, you'll probably won't even remember. But you connect that to your emotions, especially negatively. Oh, okay. So this how you gonna act? And then if you happen to need me in the future, you can forget it. Like, I don't know why people are like that. The same high horse you ride in on is the same one you could fall off on. So I was always told to treat the janitor with the same love and respect as you do the CEO. Okay? I knew the story one time. This girl wanted to get a job, and the janitor told her where she could go apply. Next thing you know, she had the job. So if she just overlooked the janitor and was focusing on the managers, if they didn't even tell you they was hiring, it was the janitor that looked out for you. So why you overlooking the person God sent you, you gonna miss your blessing. But anyway, that was just such a negative experience I had about Juneteenth. I will never forget. She like, yeah, now it's Juneteenth. Y'all should be ashamed of yourself. Google it. And so now, knowing, you know, full what it is and everything, like, it is something that should be known, but it's not like it was taught in school, you know what I mean? It's not like I went to HBC where that was like taught to me. So anyway, no matter what you do, think about the emotions and the impact that you have. Like, You don't want to be a negative memory in someone's mind. Now, every time I see her, that's exactly what I see. Like, this negative-ass Nancy, you know, no matter how much growth and change she did, that's the memory I have of you. So just do better, people, do better. But anyways, I'm going to let you guys hear a couple of clips about Juneteenth. Now that it is a national holiday, if you could be off of work, but I have some feelings about it. Like, some people definitely still went to work. Walmart was open. Okay. And they do be closing, so obviously it didn't make the top holiday list for them. And a lot of places was open. I didn't even see it. And when I went to Dollar Tree, they had paper napkins, they had cups, they had slides. Oh, baby, Dollar Tree don't miss no holidays. They gonna get all their commercial, money. But I was like, even if they were in it for the money, thank you. Thank you for acknowledging what happened to us. We know about every other race and all the atrocities they went through, but everybody wanna overlook us. And as quiet as it's kept, if it wasn't for us, would there even be in America? Absolutely no. Which is why nobody really wanna talk about them reparations. But I'm steady waiting. So I just noticed like a lot of companies, they didn't acknowledge it. And it made me really sad. Like, you can't even put up a small poll. You know what I mean? A simple poll. You know, saying, you know, let's make sure we don't repeat history and continue to move forward, you know, with love and unity and stuff. It was like, darn, it's literally a national holiday. And y'all couldn't even put a post up about it. So I saw Father's Day posts and not that many Juneteenth, and that made my heart sad. So I really don't want to support the businesses that didn't even acknowledge the holiday, okay? Because I don't know, it's like ridiculous. What is it to do a freaking post? We don't even have to pay to post. They had to pay for newspaper ads and billboard and radio time back in the day. How spoiled are we that all this stuff is free and some of us don't even want to do it and it's free? Our ancestors are literally rolling over their grave. They probably had to do fundraisers and raise money just to have the privileges and access that we have. You never know who's looking at your stuff. It may reach that one person and boom. That's all it takes. That is all it takes. One person. In my real estate career, every single person that I've helped, I'm gonna say mine, because I have partnered with another realtor, but my own clients have referred me to their coworkers, to their siblings, to their family. And it's like, I had to do my faith. And it's like, yes. Thank you for, you know what I mean, like supporting. Like, you know, I was able to offer you services. And you sent me to friends and family. You didn't have to do that, so thank you. I said all of that to say, I'm disappointed in a lot of corporations because I didn't hear a lot of commercials. I didn't see a lot of commercials. I didn't see a lot of digital posts. And I was like, wow, this is 2023. And even here in Florida, our governor wants to take the true history out of textbooks, I guess, because they're embarrassed. But it doesn't make sense, because if we have a holiday stating that this is the day that the slaves were free, how can you not keep those same books in the library? Like, make it make sense. So this is why I don't really care about history, because they're not teaching my history. What were the names? I saw a map of all of the tribes that were here in America before America came. And it's a shame that that has been drowned out. Bump the 50 states. There were tribes all over America with chief names in their native tongue, and it's gone. It has been whitewashed literally with white history. And if we keep letting them do that, that's what they're gonna do. So I'm gonna homeschool my kids. They're definitely gonna know all about African-American studies, the truth. I'm not gonna let them brainwash them or lie to them. That's really what it is. Lying to them or not focusing on the real facts. Just because you take a book out the library, you did not take away the history, okay? Our grandparents are still alive today. You know what I mean? And I think that's what's happening. Like, the elders are in their 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s. They about to die. So they about to bring in these new, you know, not to say it like that, but the Lord only promised us 100 years. So I'm saying that as they get closer to 100, they're not going to be here anymore. And so who's going to hold, who's going to carry that torch? The younger ones that may not know as much. So if we let them get away with it, they're going to take the little bit that we do know, because I feel like it's a lot more, away. And what's going to be passed down to our little ones? Like, we know what we know, but it's not even about us anymore. It's about the ones behind us. What do they know? And I don't even think they know about slavery. I don't even think they know about a slave trip. I don't think they know about handcuffs and being hung. I may be the last generation, and I'm going to be in my 40s. It's just, I don't know. It's just like, Lord, this place is insanity. So yeah, I was happy, like, yay, we have this day, you know, no matter how they try to take away the books and rewrite history, you know, we have this holiday, so somebody somewhere recognizes it, and, you know, celebrate your wins. Instead of focusing on the bad, celebrate your wins, right? But I just hope as time continues, because I think that happened 3 years ago, so we're on year three of Juneteenth. Not it happening, because they celebrated already, but as far as it being a national holiday, people being off of work and being paid. And I just went to Walmart. I didn't see no red, no green, no yellow. And I was just, let me tell you why I was disappointed. African Americans, or people of African descent, are the number one consumers in the world, which means we all make money. But some people are investing. Some people doing stocks. Some people doing life insurance, some people doing everything else, but we are the number one consumers, which means we are putting our money right back and we're helping this economy thrive. So if we were to take it and put it in stocks and put it in investments and put it in life insurance, it would be held up. But we're the ones keeping this hamster wheel, this machine going. So the least you could do as the number one consumer in the world is like acknowledge us and give us every little break that we're asking for. And I think another thing, a little bit off topic, is they were talking about reparations. Like, California is taking them to court right now for reparations. Some people agree with it, some people don't. I think I did a podcast on that already, but they're basically saying they can't afford it. And when I left the IRS, we had sent grant money, which is free. You do not have to pay back to Ukraine to fund the war, which is not our business. That's America's problem. We are always in everyone else's business. But y'all wasn't giving these people their refund monies, and y'all claim y'all didn't have enough money for reparations. So I saw enough for 6 years to know that it's all BS. It literally is all BS. I want to get out of the rat race and whatever. So if I have to live in a tiny, if I have to buy land and live in a tiny house and save, then so be it. Or if I have to stay in a tiny house and get to travel, so be it. I'd rather have memories going to Egypt and Dubai and different stuff like that versus being tied to this really high expensive mortgage, you know, killing myself to pay it off. If that, how many people really pay off mortgages? Or is it passed down to the next generation? You know what I mean? Back in the day, they could buy those houses and be done in 5 years. The way things are set up now, it's like, will you ever be done? So how did you feel about Juneteenth? Did you see any decorations? Did you care? Did you have to go to work? Were you insulted? Did you not want anybody to ask you to do anything? Because, hello, this is a holiday and I shouldn't be doing anything. How did you feel about that? Do you celebrate? Do you choose not to celebrate? I just want to get some insight, you know, and different perspectives on that.
I'm really proud of Here Tomorrow for recognizing Juneteenth as a holiday. Not many know, but within the African American community, Juneteenth is viewed as our 4th of July. Because unfortunately, in 1776, not all Americans were made free. And with that, there comes a lot of distress. You know, PTSD is a symptom of some of the things that have happened in this country. And I want everybody to know that Here Tomorrow is here to support you and understand that we're here to help educate all when it comes to mental health, that we're here to move forward the dials of justice and to, you know, help folks to recognize that racism and injustices in the system, you know, do play a part in mental health and, you know, can cause PTSD. So on Juneteenth, June 19th, I ask that everybody do their part to educate themselves on what Juneteenth means, not only for the African-American community, but for America as a whole, because that's what Here Tomorrow is going to do. And we're going to do our best to help others in the community as well. I'm really
Gracie's Corner.
Hey, today's a special day because it's Juneteenth.
Talk to you later.